Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. Father's plan, sending us out, lighting this broken land, and all authority and every victory is yours.
For those that have been with us down in Mexico for a while, know that when we go preaching, I'm almost always the first one to step out and go preaching. when we were in León, and all the persecution and everything was on us, it was a very nervous time. And if I had a moment to think about it, I would run. It would be a warm night, and I would be wearing a fleece-lined coat because I was trembling like I was freezing. And we would go downtown, and I'd march right out to the X on the in the middle of the street, and I would start shouting. I feel like that tonight. Josh asked me when we got ready to leave, are you nervous? No, oh, this is, you know, 30-some mission conference I've been in. But when you see the place on a Saturday night fill up, and you realize the weight of the importance of what we're doing here. This isn't just a social club meeting together. And even though we don't look like much to the world, we're talking about eternal things. So I, sitting there through the beginning of this, I've got nervous. So, several months now, I have been looking over and studying and the questions in the Bible. It's really interesting. I mean, who asked it, to whom, and then what the answer is. And most of the time, if you notice, the answer is another question. And you can start all over again. And so it's a never-ending study. But it's pretty interesting. These questions are asked for somebody to find out something. And these answers are to learn something. And so I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Acts 19:15. And look at a very interesting question. I think it's something that we need to ask ourselves, maybe quite regularly. Acts 19:15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. Who are you? Now, I don't know if this spirit had actually had a personal run-in with Jesus and Paul, but evidently back at the dungeon, they had talked about these two, and they knew the power that they had, they knew the influence they had, and they no doubt had fear and trembling of these two. They at least had a reputation, even if the spirit didn't know them personally, he had such a reputation that he knew. I know Jesus and I know Paul. And here's these guys that are trying to step into Paul's place and Jesus' place and have some influence, have some power in their life, and maybe impress those around, and we're going to cast out some devils too. And this guy laughed at him. The spirit laughed at him. Who are you? And that's the question I want to ask us tonight. Who are we? Has everybody ever asked you, who are you? You know, I was asked that several times. With Bill with great good Spanish and a formidable presence, and Joey with very great Spanish, and I stand up and mumble, and you know my story about trying to learn the language in Mexico and Spanish, and you know, what are you wasting your time? They asked many times if I was preaching in English. You know, what you wasting your time? Who are you? But better yet, ask yourself, who am I? Have you looked at yourself? Have you looked at the reputation you emit?
All right. Amen. All right.
What are you known as? Amen. Paul and Jesus and Paul was known as powerful, as ones that could control men and control spirits. And we're here, many of us, have made a profession of being a full-time worker for the Lord, to do the work of God, to do the works, to do some spiritual things. Many times we see no fruit, and I wonder, are the spirits laughing at us and saying, what are you doing, you know? Much more important, I think, if we look at ourselves and says, who am I? You know, every one of us has a name given by our parents, and we have a name as a reputation. You walk in the door, and we're over here, and here comes, and we don't say your name. Here comes the bragger. Here comes the destroyer. Here comes the... We got names for everybody. Usually not me. I sneak in late, hide in the back and sneak in. We call you the shadow.
We all
have some type of reputation. And sadly to say, not all of them are ones that you'd like to hear right now.
All right, brother.
And then there's some, praise the Lord for the some, that have a reputation that thrills us. There's a man who used to walk in this door, he was the man of joy. There's some that you can know, they're counselors. And you can go and say, hey, would you talk with me a minute? I got a problem. And you know that they'll give you the best biblical, spiritual answer they can give you with wisdom that they have grown through their own hardships. And they're known for that. We've all got a nickname. And it corresponds with our reputation. You take up a little bit of space and you breathe some air, you leave a print. And Paul and Jesus made a print that controlled even the spirits, the evil spirits. And we are to have a life that leaves that print, leaves that reputation. Yeah. We're to follow their example. Yeah, we're told to follow the example of Paul. Mm-hmm. He left a print that the spirits knew. He left a reputation that controlled the evil spirits. Yeah. He could cast them out. He could heal people. He could do a whole lot of things that I don't think many of us can do. You satisfied when you look at your reputation?
All right.
You know, if you've had it on Facebook and you put your reputation out, go under the box, you got the two little squares, maybe it says like and dislike. How many likes would you have? How many dislikes would we have? If you look at yourself, would you even be interested in tweaking that reputation? Changing it?
All right.
Or are you just satisfied? You know, it's who I am. I mean, that's my personality, so get over it. Isn't that not our attitude?
Right.
Instead of saying, this is unacceptable to God, and I'm going to change it.
Amen. All right. Amen.
I'm going to be known as this instead of that. Ever thought of what you would like to be?
Amen. Yes.
Most people go through life with absolutely no goal.
That's right.
It's the trouble with our youth today.
Amen.
They're just stumbling around enjoying whatever there is there with no goal.
That's right.
And so they're, as I talked the other night, they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
They jump to here, to there, to back and forth because they have nothing they work toward.
That's right.
Is your reputation the inconsistent one? You know, I've given my testimony here before about my farming days. And I won't go through the whole thing, but there's some here that haven't heard this maybe. But I'm probably one of the most ambitious people you've met. I wanted to be the biggest farmer in Michigan to get started. I wanted to buy up every acre that was farmable and then confiscate those that weren't and make them farmable. I wanted to be known as Mike Grabacre. And I wanted to take everything I got, and I wanted the biggest tractors. And I didn't get very far in this quest, but that's what I dreamed about. Live for it. I wanted to be such a big farmer and have so much land that they'd change the name of Michigan to Mikeland. I'm not kidding you. And I wasn't very successful. I was a very poor farmer. It takes patience. And I've been told I don't have a lot of that. I plant today, I'm going to harvest tomorrow. And I always worked the ground too soon. It was always too wet, and I turned the soil into mud, and the mud turns hard, and the corn don't like to grow like that. And but anyway, I had a good year, my best year. And as I've told you, some of you before, I'm in my combine with my big dreams and plans, and a neighbor's farm was up for sale right across the road, and that's another quarter of a section closer to owning Michigan. And they come out with a bigger tractor than the one I had. And so I'm counting the wagon loads that's going off to the market. And I'm marking it on the dust on the side of the combine. There's another wagon load. And there's another wagon load. And there's five of them. And I'm literally marking these things off, keeping track. I got 500 acres to go, and I've never had such a good year. And I'm feeling like I'm gaining on my dreams and my plans, my ambitions, and I'm going to be this great big farmer. And a little small voice said, so what? Just as clear as it had shouted in my ear. So what? So what? You've made this big harvest, and you're on your way to completing your dreams. And if you complete them in this world, I wanted a reputation of being the biggest farmer in Michigan. And God said, if you make it, so what? That's right. What do you have? That's right. Even in our good ambitions to do good in this world, so what? Right. We can eliminate, because we're spiritual people, no? Our desire to be the worst crook or the biggest drug addict or the biggest cartel. The best thing you can think of that you want to be. And you accomplish it.
That's right.
And you're known for it worldwide.
That's right.
And it's not spiritual. So what?
Yeah. Amen.
Who are you? Are you a creature of God saved by grace that your only ambition is filling your own desires and dreams? I praise the Lord for the calling. And my ambitious spirit and carnal things has been a burden of my whole life. So I come back to preach this again because it is a problem. Who would you like to be?
Amen.
What would you like to be known as? What would you like your reputation to say for you that this was my meaning in life? And when you walk in the door and says, that guy's given his life to this.
Amen.
What have you given your life to? You can say, well, I've worked hard and I've made a decent living for my family. And the truth is, all that stuff is not the best. There's some things that are necessary, but it needs to be to the end of what?
Yeah, that's right.
Look, if you would, in Isaiah 58, verse 12. I'd like to show you what might be a really good goal for our lives. Isaiah 58, a reputation that might be worth you considering. 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the paths to dwell in. There's something that's worth putting your life for. And there's a reputation that you might want to have. That when you walk in a room, they say, that's the guy that rebuilds. That's a guy that repairs. That's a guy that's given his life that other people can get their life in order.
Amen.
So what we're doing as missionaries, as preachers, as witnesses knocking on the door, the next door. If you look at verse 6, it is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wickedness. That's the call of us Christians, not just missionaries. It is the call of all of us that we have that as our goal, that we would loose the bands of the wickedness.
Amen.
Somebody came and loosened our bands.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. The Lord God Almighty sent His Son to die on a cross, and then He sent someone to bring the message to us.
Yes.
And we have had our bands loosened.
Amen.
Lord, praise the Lord. Loosen the band of the wickedness. It says to undo the heavy burdens. There's some heavy burdens out there. We got burdens in our life as Christians, but we know we're saved and going to heaven. And these burdens that we have are carnal. What about the spiritual burdens? To build, to restore and repair spiritual things. That should be our goal. And that should be our reputation.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for this church. In Mexico, there are hundreds of people that see this reputation of a group of people dedicated to build and repair and restore spiritually. It's a marvelous thing. Eternal benefit to them. Just as we've received. And yet we're more concerned about our reputation and carnal things. Or we're more concerned about, or we're not even concerned about, we just allow ourselves to be the destructor and the destroyer. The gossiper.
All right. Amen.
You want to be the divider, the destroyer?
No.
Are you just the shadow that doesn't get involved? I'm not offending anybody because they don't even know I'm here. Let the oppressed go free. My, there's such a freedom. I remember the day I got saved and I was 5 years old. You know, how much bondage does a five-year-old have? But I raced up and down on the sidewalk in front of this little country church, yelling, "I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved."
Amen.
Here's a freedom.
Amen.
I knew that God had forgiven me.
Amen.
And we can have the reputation of ones that bring that same message to free others.
That's right.
Break every yoke. There's a lot of things we tie ourselves up with.
Yeah.
Says, so do not be unequally yoked. Are we those that have the reputation that we're tied down with everything there is in the world?
All right.
Then how are we going to help others to break that yoke in them?
Amen.
We must invest ourselves. We must invest ourselves to be concerned to the point that we examine our own reputation and we change it. And we make a reputation that would be pleasing to God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
A reputation that gives us the testimony that we'd have power with men, as Paul and Jesus did, and with the spirits,
Amen.
The evil spirits. They're the ones that's bound. They're the ones that's binding. They're the ones that has us as slaves and prisoners of sin and wickedness.
That's right.
And we can be called repairers and restorers. There's only one time that your reputation is really important, and that's at the judgment seat.
Amen.
How will you be reintroduced? As you walk up for your personal judgment, I don't know who's going to introduce you, but how are they going to introduce you? Jesus, judge of all things, I introduce to you the destroyer,
Amen.
The gossiper,
Amen.
The unfaithful? Or is he going to say, this has been a profitable servant?
Amen.
Is this introducer going to say, this is one who's restored? Amen. This one who has broken a lot of bands of wickedness?
Amen.
It's in our hands.
Amen.
Nobody else is going to make your reputation.
Amen. Amen.
I have had the greatest privilege of being associated with people with a very good name. I used to be a name dropper. I still am. San Luis, you go a lot of places and say, I'm Dale West's son-in-law. Goes a whole lot further than just tell them who I am. Yeah. Is anybody going to be able to drop your name? Huh? They ever going to say, well, I'm so-and-so, but I've been associated with Lyndall Kincaid, Bill Kincaid. Huh? Is your name going to be one that's going to have some influence? I don't know. We get tied up in this world. We get things going on in our lives. And our reputation is tainted with ourselves and not with the mission that we've been given to do. But who are you? We know Jesus. We know Paul, but who are you?